Okay. Gosh, we're almost back on schedule.
Yep.
Michael?
Okay, papers 10 and 10A, if we could take those together, all to do with work in progress. Paper 10 is our normal summary of what's work in progress at the moment. We have four issues that we've classified as ongoing issues. Now, including that is the IFRS 5 issues, which we're going to be going to the board this month to consult with them on following the discussions last month. I've counted those as one, effectively one set of issues. We've got two issues on hold. Now, just to mention one of those, the first one that we've identified there on page 5 is one that we've brought back onto this paper. It's the issue to do with the how to account for the variable consideration for purchase of PPE or intangibles, something that we have taken to the board in the past and had been putting on hold until the leases project had sort of finished in terms of its all of its discussions. Our next step for that is that we're planning to bring that to you for sort of reactivating and looking at that again, which is why we put it back onto this paper. And then we've got our new issues. We've got four issues that are listed on page 6 and 7, all connected with financial instruments, two of them specifically to do with IFRS 9. We've already sent out our outreach requests in respect of those to national standard setters, securities regulators, and the large firms. So we're gathering that feedback in, and we'll be planning to bring those to you in September. So those are the issues in terms of overall work in progress. We've also added on to this schedule for the first time, paragraph 8, so beginning page 7, going over the page to page 8, the list of issues that we're expecting to bring to you in September, just to give you a sort of a feel for what there's going to be, both in terms of new issues, but also the issues that perhaps we've got in work in progress that'll be coming next time, including things that may have been discussed at this meeting as well, just to give you a feel for the sort of issues coming up. Are there any questions before we move on to paper 10A? Are there any questions on paper 10? Yes, Tony.
Not so much a question on paper 10, but more of a we decided to go ahead with draft interpretations around IAS 21 and IAS 12. Yeah. I was wondering where those were going to seem like today.
Right, okay. Now, the draft interpretation on both of those, actually, we've taken those to the board to discuss the committee's conclusions. The board has not had any problems with those, so we're moving into the sort of drafting phase of that. So both of those, we're working on the drafting, and what we will be doing is circulating to you those sort of what we would call pre-ballot drafts, so that you can review those. Because that is all about the drafting rather than the technical decisions, that is something that we do offline rather than in the meetings. And the process would be you get, first of all, a pre-ballot draft. We collect comments from you, process those, and provided that there's no sort of new significant technical issues, then we would move to sending you a ballot draft, again offline. You would vote on that. And then we would proceed to publishing that through so that that goes out for public comment. If there was something significant from a technical perspective that came through the pre-ballot review, then we would need to bring that back to a public meeting. But hopefully we have covered all of those technical discussions already, but you know, we'll see what comes back.
On the web page, and the set of pages Q3 2015. The issue on IRIS 21 is not on the web page at all. So, is there a political reason why?
Right.
So is there an estimated severe time difference between the two, or because before I, my understanding was more or less we could expect both in the third quarter, or
right? Okay. Couple of things. When the time in which we move it on the web page from being just on the committee's agenda to draft interpretation is after we've taken it to the board, and the board has indicated that there isn't sort of significant opposition from the board to it going out as a draft interpretation. So at that stage, that's when it formally becomes part of effectively the board's agenda as well as the interpretation committee's agenda. So we would then move it into the draft interpretation category at that stage. Now the IAS 12.1 had gone prior to the IAS 21 interpretation, which is why that went on to the agenda first of all. The IAS 21 issue had gone in June, and so it hadn't quite made it on in terms of sort of summarising everything for our paper here. So it's just a matter of timing.
Okay,
not
so
a matter
currently,
of
but they have the same status currently?
They now
it's
are.
It's just,
yes.
Okay, understood.
Yes.
Fine.
Yeah. Okay, anything more on paper 10? In which
sort of
we'll talking be talking about that in the closed session.
Okay.
Okay. Then paper 10A, just wanted to give you a little bit more of an update regarding this particular issue. It does feature within the work in progress paper, but we're just conscious that it's been 6 months since we last brought you a paper on this. So just wanted to give you a little bit more detail about what we're looking at and the in particular the fact patterns that we've been analysing and are planning to bring you in September in sort of more detail of the analysis. If you recall back at the January meeting, a few of you had said that you wanted us to look at some specific and more complex fact patterns related to both gift cards but also loyalty schemes as well. And so the two that we're focusing on, and we've summarised for you in paper 10A, summarised first of all a shopping mall gift card scheme in paragraph 11, and an airline frequent flyer programme in paragraph 12, in which we've also looked at a couple of variations. And so we're looking there. Paragraph 11 sets out the shopping mall gift card scheme, and this is one where you've got the shopping centre itself. It sells these prepaid gift cards that can be used in any of the stores within the mall. And so does the shopping mall operator, as the one issuing the card, does that have a financial liability or a non-financial liability in this context? It is going to be paying cash to the retailer in the mall that accepts the card as payment, but the holder of the card is not able to receive cash, it's only able to receive goods or services. So that's the scenario we're looking at there. The airline frequent flyer program, where one airline, when it sells a flight, also sells you points as well. Those points can be redeemed for flights, but because it has an agreement with another independent airline to for the customer to be able to use those points to buy flights with that other airline, does the airline that issues the points, does it have a financial liability if it is or could be obliged to pay cash to the other airline when the points are used to redeem for flights by that other airline? And the variations there that we're looking at is, and in particular, does that conclusion change when the customer has to go to the first airline in order to buy flights from the second airline, or whether it can go direct to that second airline to buy the flights? Is there any difference to be thinking about there in terms of whether it's a financial liability or not? We'll also be thinking about the IFRIC 13 factors that were brought up at the January meeting as well, and the guidance that we have in there about the allocation of the purchase consideration to the goods and services being sold and the points that are being sold in that one transaction. The other thing that I just wanted to update you on as well, not so much on our work, but on the FASB and EITF work, and that's set out in paragraphs 14 to 17. As you'll probably recall, this was a submission to both the Interpretations Committee and the EITF simultaneously. The FASB's and EITF's conclusions were that in the fact pattern in the submission, so not as broad as we've gone in our discussions looking at loyalty programs, but in the submission, the FASB and the EITF concluded that there was a financial liability, but given the way in which the derecognition requirements work in US GAAP, the FASB have and EITF have published a consensus for exposure which would propose an amendment to US GAAP for the derecognition requirements relating to this particular type of fact pattern. That comment period has closed, and the EITF expects to discuss the feedback it's received at its September meeting. Bob, you're an EITF member as well. Do you want to add anything more on that particular?
Yeah, if I could add a couple of things. One, the EITF has amendment powers, and so different than here. So that's why you see the EITF issuing what the EITF thought was a better answer to apply breakage in these cases. The other issue I wanted to raise were around scope. The EITF decided, I raised the issue within the meeting as to do we want to expand the scope to be consistent with the discussions here, look at loyalty programs. The majority vote at the EITF was no, to keep this issue right now, to just deal with, as you described, the gift cards, we call them the prepaid stored value cards. But within this also a scope issue, one of the things that we found, because we had to start with the same scope, was that it was limited to those prepaid stored value cards that were not redeemable for cash. In our research, we found out that there are certain U.S. states that require that, by law, that a card can be redeemed for cash once it's reduced to a certain level, $5 or $10. So this way, the cardholder doesn't have to go and pay extra, because nothing's less than $5 or $10 at that store, and so I have to pay extra. So you can get your money back for that, and so that's the reason why we changed the scope to allow for cash redemption. I'd be interested if there are other jurisdictions outside of these U.S. states that also require, by law, that the cardholder can redeem for cash.
Does anybody have any questions or comments on paper 10A?
John, anything to add?
Nope.
Okay. Then in that case, we'll move on to paper 10B. And paper 10B is our 6-monthly update of the statistics, just looking back over the recent 2.5 years in this particular case of what the Interpretations Committee, how it has dealt with issues that have come to it. Just a few highlights from the paper. Page 2 just highlights the overview of how you've dealt with the issues over the last 6 months. And the actual level of new issues has been pretty similar to the same period last year. How it's been dealt with, perhaps a little bit more in terms of agenda decisions, but fairly similar to the first 6 months of last year. Agenda decisions being the primary way in which you've been dealing with and concluding on issues that you've been discussing. Now, 17 agenda decisions is quite high for the first 6 months, but I think it's perhaps worth noting that within that are 7 agenda decisions relating to IFRS 11, which obviously we had not only bundled together, but had been also the result of some specific outreach that we had done earlier in that phase of the work to sort of try and make sure we got all of the relevant issues onto the table that we needed to wrap up. So perhaps a slight unusual feature there. Of the agenda decisions, quite a high level though, although these are effectively rejections, so items not taken onto the agenda, 88% of those were ones where you gave technical guidance following the public consultation. So nevertheless, guidance being provided for those who are affected by those particular issues. I think just jumping ahead to page 11, where we have the analysis by issue by standard, IFRS's 10 and 11, and then 28 and 32 being the main ones there that have contributed to the issues that have been discussed over the last 2.5 years. 10 and 11, as we observed in past meetings when we looked at this, obviously being newer standards, it's perhaps understandable that they would give rise, generate a higher number of questions in those early years. IAS 28 and IAS 32 perhaps being ones where we know there have been some difficulties, and both of those ones where the board does have active research programs on to look at those and see if we can improve those more fundamentally through those research programs. I didn't want to go into any more detail, but very happy to ask or answer any questions that you may have in relation to statistics.
Nope. Okay. Thank you. All right. We have a break on the agenda now.